Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 701, Update on Kosovo. This program is being recorded on January 17th of the year 2010. And before we begin, let me remind you that it is increasingly important for a serious understanding of these broadcasts to use the SpitfireList.com website. That is by far and away the best website in the world for anti-fascist information. I've got all of my life's work up there for download for free. It is constantly growing. It's already massive, and there is a tremendous amount of material up there, so please use it, people. Among the things people may want to pay attention to, I would certainly encourage it, is the supplemental section. In the supplemental section, there are rolling updates for various things, including the GermanForeignPolicy.com website / newsletters, upon which we're going to be relying for this broadcast. We use them in For the Record program number 700. And for those of you who'd like to keep up with GermanForeignPolicy.com, all you got to do is click on the supplemental section of the SpitfireList.com website. That also, by the way, as of this week, contains the rolling update, so to speak, for the Muslim Brotherhood, Global Muslim Brotherhood report. That is a very fine website, which, as the name indicates, keeps tabs on the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamic fascist organization that is the parent organization of Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and which was allied with the Axis powers of World War II, then jumped to elements of Western intelligence during the Cold War, and which sadly, even though our men and women in uniform are engaged in a very real war against those elements, is looked upon by favor by serious elements of the corporate elite because they, as a fascist organization, have a corporatist economic philosophy. And in many ways, the Muslim Brotherhood is seen by the large corporations as being the ideal vehicle for institutionalizing corporatism in the third world and the Muslim world in particular. So for very good regular updates on the Muslim Brotherhood, Global Muslim Brotherhood Report, those rolling updates are featured in the supplemental section to the Spitfire website. Now, in For the Record 700, we took a look at the restructuring of Europe very much along the lines that it was very much along the lines under which it was restructured during the Second World War while under German military occupation, and now it is being restructured in very similar lines while Europe is under economic and political occupation, in many ways growing out of the military occupation of World War II. I know to the uninitiated, and that's not meant to be condescending, that may sound like a tall order, certainly a very tall drink to consume at one sitting. Please use the website, and that'll help get you up to speed. Also, the stations that feature these broadcasts on a regular basis will have heard a rebroadcast of For the Record number 154 from back in the late 90s. That is a program talking about German geopolitics and the Balkans War. It not only goes into considerable depth in delineating the profound German role in precipitating the Balkan Wars, and they were the pivotal element involved, it also demonstrates very conclusively how the United States basically has become a vehicle for the realization of German geopolitics. Very long story made very short. The Second World War was not a freak occurrence. It was the outgrowth of what I view as the real start of the modern phenomenon of globalization, which was the Webb-Pomeroy Act, enacted in 1918. That was basically a loophole for the Antitrust Act of 1913. Although the Antitrust Act made monopolies illegal, the Webb-Pomeroy Act made cartels, i.e. international monopolies, legal. And basically, during the Roaring Twenties, in order to escape, these words again, excessive regulation, unquote, Powerful American industrial and financial interests took the enormous capital profits from the Roaring Twenties, and instead of reinvesting them in American infrastructure, economic infrastructure in particular, they were reinvested abroad, primarily, although not exclusively, in Germany and Japan. And the Germans and Japanese then reinvested that capital in strategic heavy industry, which they then used to conquer Asia and Europe. Basically, the forces that surged all over Asia and Europe in the Second World War, and against which, once again, our men and women in uniform fought so heroically and at such great cost to themselves, as did the uniformed armed forces of many other countries, at even greater cost to themselves, that basically was the transmogrified invested capital from the American economic boom of the 1920s. One of the reasons why the Great Depression happened, in addition to the same sort of investment folly that brought about the great crash of 2008, was the fact that the only way that capitalism can work is if you reinvest capital in order to generate more capital. And instead of reinvesting the capital profits from the Roaring Twenties in our own infrastructure, they were reinvested abroad. It's like basically punching a hole in one of those plastic wading pools that kids like in the summertime. Well, the water's going to leak out and you're going to have no pool. The cartel system was reinstituted at the end of World War II, but because the Japanese and Germans, though they lost on the battlefield, the Germans in particular, took all of the liquid wealth of Europe and, in the Japanese case, Asia, kept it, and then when the cartels were reformed at the end of the Second World War, and those cartels and the political elements allied with them geared up for the Cold War, the same fascist elements were put back in power. And now, whereas the U.S. was the dominant element in the cartels prior to World War II, now it is Deutschland über alles, or Deutschland über Kartells, and I don't know what the German word for cartel is. What we are looking at in the Balkans Wars is the first significant act of the, quote, new, unquote, Germany. No sooner did Germany get reunified than it precipitated the first major land war in Europe since the Second World War, and that was the Balkans Wars. But rather than sacrificing their own blood and treasure, they got the U.S., which they now control, to sacrifice our blood and treasure, although most of the blood and treasure was that of the people who lived there, the Serbs in particular. Done a lot of work on the Balkans Wars. It's one of the reasons why For the Record 154 was recycled. What we're going to be doing in this program is taking a look at Kosovo. That is the largely Albanian Muslim province of Serbia, which effected an altogether illegal secession, and that secession was basically enforced through American arms and the war that took place there in 1999, maybe 1998. I'm getting old in my old age, but it's easy enough to check. Now, another reason why we're going to be taking a look at Kosovo is the fact that the UNPO, the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, views the secession of Kosovo as their first, quote, success, unquote. Done a lot of work on the UNPO, and again, it sounds like a wonderful organization, the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, and it champions all sorts of allegedly, or in some cases, very, very actually oppressed peoples. But it does so not for the benefit of those peoples, but rather to break up larger countries and to gain control of vital resources. Among the, quote, downtrodden, unquote, whom the UNPO champions are the Afrikaners from the former brutal fascist government of apartheid South Africa. That's a clue to the organization. It's headed up by Karl von Habsburg, formerly married to Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza of the Thyssen Industrial Complex, one of the linchpins of Hitler's industrial establishment, one of the main financiers of Adolf Hitler, and the Thyssen's American business partners, of course, were George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush Sr., great-grandfather and grandfather of W, and the grandfather and father of George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st President of the United States. One of the things that we've talked about in connection with Kosovo, which basically, or the UNPO, The UNPO champions not only minority groups that are going to be whose independence would break up larger and more powerful rivals of Germany, but it also just so happens that these groups, these minority groups, happen to sit on areas that are very rich in mineral resources and or have enormous strategic importance. They are championing the rights of the Muslim Uyghurs in China. Xinjiang province is a key strategic region for the Chinese. It is rich in natural resources, including oil. They are also championing, among others, or endorsing the independence of the Lakota. The Lakota, of course, have been royally screwed. However, the territory that the Lakota claim as their own just happens to sit on top of the Bakken field, which has enormous energy potential for the United States. There are also web links and tacit support for the independence of Alaska. AIP, the Alaskan Independence Party, not only a secessionist party for whom Sarah Palin appears to be a cat's paw, but they are one of the correspondent parties of the Aryan Nations and other American domestic fascist groups. Alaska, of course, is rich in oil. The UNPO champions the secession of Hawaii. Hawaii has enormous strategic importance for the United States, and they view the secession of Kosovo as their first success. As we looked at in For the Record 154, one of the things that is present in Kosovo is the Trepka mine complex. The Trepka mines are not only absolutely essential to the sustenance of the Yugoslavian economy, but the Trepka mines were invaluable to the Nazis when they were in occupation of the Balkans. I believe off the top of my head it was cadmium, but they are very rich in mineral resources, maybe cadmium and nickel, I'm not sure which. But in any event, For the Record 154, and I'm operating off the top of my head, the Trepka mines are absolutely essential to the Yugoslavian economy. They were a valuable prize for the Nazis in their occupation of the Balkans in World War II. And, surprise, surprise, the Trepka mines are in Kosovo. So the secession of Kosovo basically deprives Yugoslavia and awards, in effect, to Germany, the Trepka mines. And also, we're going to take a look at Kosovo here in order to understand just what the UNPO is really all about. One of the things that we looked at in For the Record Program 700 was the extent to which the UNPO is essentially a vehicle for the realization of pan-German geopolitics. We're going to take a look at Kosovo in much the same light. And it's also worth noting here that basically, in order to do the dirty work, and there was some real dirty work in Kosovo, the whip hand, so to speak, ultimately turned out to be American military power. However, the elements on whose behalf we exercise that power are not only outright criminals, literally murderous criminals, but they are drug-dealing criminals, and there are links between those criminal syndicates and Islamists. Recall that in the Balkans during the Second World War, there were three Muslim Waffen SS divisions that were instituted. One was composed of Bosnian Muslims. That was the 13th Waffen SS, or Hanjar Division. The leader of the, quote, independent, unquote, Bosnia, the late Alija Izet Begovic, a supporter of Osama bin Laden, had channeled recruits to the Hanjar Division as a young man in the Young Muslims organization in Bosnia. And when Bosnia achieved its, quote, independence, unquote, note the quotes, the Hanjar Division, the 13th Waffen SS Division, was recreated in the mid-90s as the elite military unit of the new Bosnian army. There was also the 23rd, or Kama Division, and in Kosovo, there was the 21st, or Skanderbeg Division, composed primarily of Albanian Muslims. And many of the fighters in the Kosovo Liberation Army were the sons and grandsons of members of Skanderbeg and other fascist fighting formations of World War II. We're going to be taking a look at Kosovo in this broadcast, again relying on the remarkable GermanForeignPolicy.com website. Rolling, you need go no farther than the Spitfire website to get their rolling updates. Click on the supplemental section. A number of things to be looking at here. First of all, the extent to which Germany, using its American puppet, and frankly, we are basically German puppets at this point to a large extent, due to our economic bankruptcy and their economic largesse, due to that fact, basically, we have wound up supporting an outright criminal organization. And we're going to take a look at the heinous criminal activity that the members of the Kosovo government have engaged in. And we're going to be taking a look at the condemnations of same, not only on the part of elements of the United Nations, but also potentially the International Criminal Court at The Hague. And we're going to be taking a look at the extent to which the Germans and the Kosovans, or the Kosovarians, and basically the folks in Kosovo and the KLA, as well as their American puppet, sorry, but that's the way it works, are acting in fundamental violation of international law and the United Nations. We're also going to be taking a look, too, at something that's very important to understand. As foul as Kosovo is, and as much absolutely essential support as they have gotten from Germany, the fact of the matter is both the BND, the German Intelligence Service, and the Bundeswehr, the German military, their analysis and intelligence divisions have basically identified the thoroughly criminal nature of the Kosovo government and the extent to which they are basically kingpins of an international, very powerful international criminal organizations. Nonetheless, both the Bundeswehr and the BND, whose analysis divisions have rightly identified and condemned basically the Kosovans, the leadership, I should say, of Kosovo for their criminal activities, nonetheless, both the Bundeswehr and the BND have actively supported these same elements. I mention this because one should never fail to grasp the fact that organizations are not unified entities, and there are often splits within them. In this case, we are able to view a significant schism between the analysis divisions of both BND and the Bundeswehr and their boots on the ground, so to speak, in Kosovo. And the last of the articles we're going to examine, called The Sorcerer's Apprentice, concerns the Kosovo government basically outing three BND operatives who were involved in terrorist incidents in Kosovo and I believe also some other places in the Balkans, and basically outing them once the Bundeswehr and BND came out with their critical analyses of Kosovo. So again, the sorcerer's apprentice has turned upon the head magician. So that's what we're looking at. Let's take a look at what the UNPO considers its number one success. And remember that among the countries they appear to have targeted for Balkanization and partition, in using basically an old colonial tactic, championing the independence, unquote, of one group in order to get their hands on the natural resources, kind of like what happened with Iraq when Kuwait was split off by the British. The French split Lebanon off from Syria. The British split Kuwait off from Iraq. It's a very similar type of situation. But now the U.S. is slated for the same sort of recolonialization. People may dismiss that, but the country is already bankrupt after, say, a terrorist incident using WMDs, and those might come into the drug smuggling networks, part of which are controlled by elements in Kosovo. When the big one happens in California, either the Bay Area and or Los Angeles, it's going to trash California's economy. That's going to trash what's left of the U.S. economy, and that's going to collapse the global economy. And that, in combination with, say, a WMD terrorist incident, you can kiss the American economy goodbye, and it might very well happen that the U.S. will split up. I can appreciate this sounds like pure madness to the uninitiated. Well, who would have envisioned the breakup of the Soviet Union, say, back in 1980? It was not very far off in the future. And indeed, although when I first began talking about this topic, namely the potential breakup of the U.S. back in 2006, in conjunction with the UNPO and the Dalai Lama and so forth, a lot of people said, oh, boy, there goes Dave. He's really left the tracks this time. Well, now we're not only seeing Fox News entertaining that, the governor of Texas refused to rule out such a possibility, and we're seeing, as we did in For the Record 676, op-ed pieces, full-page op-ed pieces on the Wall Street Journal advocating just that. So watch the bleep out, people. Let's see what the UNPO counts as its triumph. First article from the remarkable GermanForeignPolicy.com website, Political Friendships, from January 21st of 2008. The trial against a close collaborator of Joachim Rucker, the German UN administrator in Kosovo, is drawing to a close with the concluding declarations before the International War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague, due to begin this week. The International War Crimes Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia had charged the former Kosovo Prime Minister Ramush Haradinaj with ordering and even participating himself in torture and numerous murders of Serbs, Roma, and Kosovo Albanians in 1998, a year prior to NATO's aggression against Yugoslavia. While being a commander of the KLA, Haradinaj, according to intelligence circles, was also the leader of a powerful mafia organization. He enjoys close ties to the United Nations Interim Administration Mission in Kosovo, including its current special representative of the UN Secretary General, Joachim Rucker. In a discussion with GermanForeignPolicy.com, the journalist Boris Kanzleiter explained that high-ranking UN officials helped to intimidate witnesses due to testify in The Hague against Haradinaj. The structures of organized crime in Kosovo, in which Haradinaj is said to play an important role, extend all the way to Germany. It is being reported that German government authorities prevented investigations of Kosovo Albanians residing in Germany. Last week, the prosecutor of the International War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague demanded 25 years imprisonment for Ramush Haradinaj and two of his closest collaborators. The indictment is dealing with incidents in 1998 that led to an escalation of tension in the southern Serbian province of Kosovo and served to legitimize NATO's aggression in March of 1999. These incidents took place in the mountainous Dukajin region in western Kosovo, bordering Albania and Montenegro, the home of the Haradinaj clan. In 1997 and 8, the Haradinaj family estates had been expanded to become a command headquarters for the KLA, unquote, reports the journalist Boris Kanzleiter in a discussion with GermanForeignPolicy.com. Kanzleiter has been doing research in the countries of the former Yugoslavia since several years. The indictment of the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague charges Haradinaj, who in 1998 commanded KLA operations in the Dukajin region from his family estate and his close collaborators. Quote, "The common criminal purpose of the JCE, Joint Criminal Enterprise, was to consolidate the total control of the KLA over the Dukajin occupation zone by the unlawful removal and mistreatment of Serb civilians and by the mistreatment of Kosovar Albanian and Kosovar Roma and Egyptian civilians and other civilians who were or were perceived to have been collaborators with the Serbian forces, or otherwise not supporting the KLA," unquote. The indictment also states, quote, "Over the course of several days following the 19th of April, 1998, KLA attacks forced out or killed virtually every Serb civilian remaining in the KLA-controlled parts of the Dukajin operational zone," unquote. "The murders were aimed at the elimination of all non-Albanian members of the population to edify an ethnically pure state structure." Following the end of NATO's war against Yugoslavia in 1999, Haradinaj transformed his consolidated positions, established with the help of the KLA during the aggression, into a political power base. In 2000, he founded his own political party, the Alliance for the Future of Kosovo, or AAK. In December of 2004, he was even elected Prime Minister of Kosovo, but he had to vacate that position in March of 2005 because of his criminal trial pending in The Hague. Even today in Kosovo, Haradinaj is seen as the leader of an influential group in organized crime. The German Intelligence Service, or BND, Bundesnachrichtendienst, classified him in 2005 as a, quote, "key player," unquote, in the network between politics, business, and internationally operating OC structures in Kosovo. The BND drew the conclusion that Haradinaj's network of smugglers was operating throughout the Balkans, extending into Greece, Italy, Switzerland, and all the way to Germany, unquote. Regardless, the UN administration in Kosovo maintains very close ties to Haradinaj. The former head of UNMIK, the UN administration, Soren Jason Peterson, referred to him as a close partner and friend, unquote. Boris Kanzleiter told GermanForeignPolicy.com, quote, "Jason Peterson's successor, the German diplomat Joachim Rucker, also has a close relationship to him." Rucker reinforced Haradinaj's position prior to the opening of the trial in The Hague through an ostentatious meeting with him in Pristina. Over the past few days, accusations were made that high-ranking UNMIK functionaries were directly involved in the intimidation of witnesses, says Consleiter. These accusations are to be taken seriously in light of the fact that last year, a witness against Harati Naj was killed in an unsolved auto accident. Does that sound familiar, folks? And again, by the way, the UN here is helping these you-know-whats out. Continuing. Back in 2002, three witnesses and two investigating officials were assassinated in the context of the trial against Harati Naj's clan. Contrary to what one could be led to believe through the trial in The Hague, Harati Naj's activities in Kosovo are not out of the ordinary. Several German security administrations' reports have been published in excerpts. They point out that there are several powerful mafia organizations seeking to attain political offices in the southern Serbian province that is preparing to postulate its statehood. In a study conducted by the Bundeswehr, the German military, and completed at the end of 2007, it was reported that, quote, under the noses of the international community, several multi-million euro organizations have developed out of the old KLA structures, unquote, linking political ambitions with their criminal activities and exercising extensive control over the governmental machinery, unquote. Back in 2005, the BND named several people with leading positions in the organized crime of Kosovo, including the current prime minister and a member of the current parliamentary executive board. Up to now, this information of the security administration has had no consequences. By the way, as of later, we're going to see the Kosovo government turned on three BND terrorists with whom they had obviously been working. Again, the sources are apprentice. Continuing and reprising this last sentence, up to now, this information of the security administration has had no consequences. Meanwhile, complaints of an insufficient prosecution of suspected Kosovo criminals are even being heard in Germany. The publicist Jürgen Roth reported in 2006, quote, already in the summer of 2005, the state offices of criminal investigation of Bavaria and Lower Saxony tried to convince the Federal Office of Criminal Investigation to open a centralized investigation concerning the known clans and individuals in Germany, unquote, because again, quoting, many criminal culprits from the entourage of the KLA have settled in Germany. Yet this demand was refused, even though the Austrian Federal Office of Investigation and the Italian police strongly insisted that their German colleagues finally initiate these investigations. The rejection, according to a confidential source in the Austrian Federal Office of Criminal Investigation, came straight from the Interior Ministry in Berlin. In fact, back in the 1990s, Germany was used by former KLA commanders and present-day mafia bosses for their preparations of the secessionist struggle against Belgrade, which is an often-used explanation for the current conspicuous impunity. According to Eric Schmidt-Einbohm, a specialist on intelligence services, the KLA was being financed, quote, with millions since the beginning of the 90s, mostly originating from Albanians in exile in the USA, Switzerland, and Germany, unquote. These activities were not just tolerated, they were massively supported, unquote, writes the publicist Jürgen Roth, again quoting, leading, to say the least, to political friendships, unquote. Roth dealt also with a Kosovo-Albanian family clan from northern Germany that was suspected of involvement in the KLA financing in the latter part of the 1990s. The clan is also accused of various illegal dealings. The accusations have yet to be finalized through the court. Still, according to research presented by KFOR, the clan had close business relations with Ramush Harati Naj on trial in The Hague, occasionally through high-ranking contacts in government circles. According to Roth, quote, both the German Foreign Minister Klaus Kinkel and later the director of the BND, August Hanning, met with the head of the northern German clan, unquote. Today, Hanning is state secretary in the Ministry of the Interior. Kinkel was former head of the BND, by the way, and it was the German Interior Ministry which rejected those appeals. We're going to be taking up right where we left off on Inside 2, and we're going to be taking a look at the UNPO's first, quote, success, unquote, What a marvelous success it was. However, this concludes side one of For the Record program number 701, Update on Kosovo. This has been recorded on January 17th of the year 2010. Happy Martin Luther King holiday weekend.